Scripture reading for today will be coming from Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 through 13. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him ye are made full, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of the Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead through the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses.
Certainly my privilege to be able to speak this morning, to preach in the place of Mike Bonner, and he is in Lipan, I believe, starting a gospel meeting. Lufkin. Michael Bonner Jr. told me Lipan. I didn't know where Lipan was. I thought it was some foreign Asian country. But I know he said he'd be back Thursday. Lufkin, Texas. So we're glad that Brother Bonner is there, and we're glad you're here. It's always a privilege when you have the opportunity to preach from the Word of God. Certainly enjoyed the gospel meeting with Brother Mosier. He is a great mentor of mine. I've known him for a number of years, and it was, again, good for me, and I know us as a congregation, to be with him, and I hope that you benefited from that study of the book of Romans. I want to talk to you about being complete or whole, made whole in Christ this morning. As Jaden just read in Colossians chapter 2, the idea comes from verse 10, where it says in the King James Version, "And ye are complete in him, or made whole, or fulfilled in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Talking about Christ. I want you to think about the idea of what it means to be whole or complete. The Bible teaches here that we are able to be made whole or complete in Christ. So what does that say about everyone that would be out of Christ? Well, the obvious implication is that they are not complete, they're incomplete outside of Christ. Some synonyms would be lost, lost in sins and such. And so there really are then two different classifications of people in the world. Those who are made complete by God in Christ, and those that are incomplete outside of Christ. And they cannot be complete no matter what they do or try to do as long as they are indeed outside of Christ. Another interesting passage in Ecclesiastes 12 that may allude to this idea of being complete or whole in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. You remember these passages where Solomon says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man." Duty inserted by the translators. It's in most translations, but I think maybe the emphasis there is interesting when you take the word duty out. The whole of man is in fearing God and keeping his commandments. There's nothing more than in reality that should be satisfactory to make you whole or complete than to do those two things. To fear God, attitude, have the right attitude, and then to do His will, the right action. Now, I'd like you to think about that as we consider the theme or the book of Colossians this morning. And we'll study from that text this hour and hopefully make some application with 3 points here in just a moment. But I found some interesting information that may give us some context, application to the world we live in. Information from the latest chronic diseases or CDC report, Center for Disease and Control. Listen to some of the information that is related, and this is the latest for chronic diseases and conditions. Heart disease, stroke, cancer, type 2 diabetes, obesity, and arthritis. These are among the most common, costly, and preventable health problems, according to the CDC, in our country today. As of 2012, about half of all adults, 117 million people, had one or more chronic health conditions. One in four adults had two or more chronic health conditions. Seven of the top 10 causes of death in 2014 were chronic diseases. Two of these chronic diseases, heart disease and cancer, together accounted for nearly 46% of all deaths. Obesity is a serious health concern. 2011 to 2014, more than one-third of adults, 36%, or about 84 million people, were obese, defined as body mass index, BMI, if you're into that. Obviously, I'm not. About one in six youths, 17%, age 2 to 19 years of age, were considered obese. Arthritis, the most common cause of disability, 54 million adults suffer with this. Diabetes, the leading cause of kidney failure, lower limb amputations, and so on and so forth. What's interesting here is that the government says that most of this is preventable. Now, you may be wondering, why am I talking about all this? Well, I'm talking about all this because it's talking about the physical man that's not complete, that's incomplete and physically disabled, and will die one day. It will die one day because according to Romans 5:12, and which is a factual evidence of truth that we experience every day, death is the result of sin. As one man sinned, so death entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. And mankind will continue to suffer from death as long as we have life in this earth, here on this planet. Remember, again, we're only made whole or complete, though, in Christ Jesus. I'm going to make a contrast here in just a moment here. Hopefully that will help us see priorities in our lives to help us identify with whether or not we are truly cognizant of the blessings we have in Christ Jesus, being made whole or complete in Him alone. Now continue with me just for a moment on this report. They say, the chronic CDC.gov, say that health risk behaviors, unhealthy behaviors, you can change. Four of these health risk behaviors, lack of exercise or physical activity, poor nutrition, and I don't want to hear this from young people about how unhealthy the rest of us are, because you're young and your metabolism still works fast. It does. When you turn about 23, things start changing. You get married and you start eating Mexican food and drinking Coca-Colas. It won't take you long to start adding the pounds on. So, again, let's be sensible here. But nonetheless, listen to what this says. Lack of exercise, poor nutrition, tobacco use, and drinking alcohol cause much of the illness that we're suffering from, and early death-related chronic disease and so forth. And I could go on. This report's available online. You can look it up yourself. Now, here's what's interesting to me. I also did some research on mental illness, depression, anxiety, various things that are also considered to be somewhat chronic in our society. And I asked myself why, and I hope maybe you're asking yourself why, and that's okay, it's good. But relative to these physical diseases and things that the government says that we can, for the most part, control or push back, there's a lot of this in the world we live in. The movement to be healthy physically, to exercise consistently, to eat a perfect, nutritious, vegan diet or whatever, to abstain from any poisons or toxins in our society, in our body, to eradicate impurities and live spiritual lives, to practice yoga and to live a courageous physical life to overcome all of this. And I'm happy for you if that's your desire to be healthy. No one here, I would think, would encourage you to live an unhealthy life. But I'm here to remind you that all of that still will not save your soul. And the majority of our problem isn't really physical at all. It is spiritual, and it's because people are outside of Christ. The book of Colossians, a book that's wonderful. I believe the key passage in my judgment is in chapter 1 in verse 5. When he says something about heaven, the eternal reward, the hope of all mankind. Colossians 1 verse 5, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel," or the good news, "which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit." Now notice that. As you heard about this wonderful message of hope for all of mankind in heaven, not here. Look at Colossians 3 verse 1 where he will say, if you've been risen with Him, Christ, and we'll talk more about that in just a second, then set your affections on things where? Above, in heaven. The focus here then, being made whole or complete in Christ, is all about a singular focus, which is heaven. Not here, not the earth, but heaven, where your hope is. Hope, not this wishful anticipation, but this again, expected anticipation. Hope. Heaven, that is real, where Christ is now, Romans 8:24, "that which I've not seen, but I can tell you, Christ is not here, He is in heaven." He's somewhere. I haven't seen it, but the Bible calls it heaven. I believe Colossians 1, 5, and 6, because the word "for" there, because the hope, he writes this book, but then he reminds them throughout this book that you are complete as a result of this focus of heaven. Notice here with me then also in chapter 1, look at verse 9. Some keys to this book. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled." Notice the ideas in this book of being filled, fulfilled, completed, made whole. You can be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice that, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, in order to be, again, increasing in the knowledge of God, I would say in verse 9, you've got to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom, because that wisdom is compiled as you make application of that knowledge. And as you make application, because you fear God, you have the right attitude, the whole of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments, I guarantee you, Paul is saying, you will grow in the proper kind of wisdom. Not worried about the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. But this wisdom is the kind of wisdom that will save your soul. And Paul leaves no excuse for us not to be filled with these things, to be made whole, to be made complete, so that we will not miss heaven. Notice again in verse 11, "by this strengthened with all might." What are people today striving for so much physically? More strength, more physical activity, more physical, material, worldly stuff. And will that ever fill them up eternally or spiritually? It will not. Chapter 1 again continues, look at verses 10 and following, "that you may walk worthy." The reason we would not walk worthy of the Lord is because we're not filling ourselves, our lives, with the right things. I would affirm, if you're filling your life with alcohol, tobacco, overeating and so forth that you're probably not focused very well, but might the fear of the Lord and doing His will more and that being more of our priority help offset some of that? I bet it would. It again goes back to focus so that we do not miss our reward, which is heaven in verse 5 of chapter 1. Remember, the kingdom of God is not in eating and in drinking we talked about in the book of Romans. The kingdom of God is spiritual in nature. Our business, our lives, and for the people in this world who keep saying they're spiritual and they're not, they're worldly. Christians are spiritual. True Christians are filled with the knowledge of God. True Christians, New Testament Christians, are those who are made whole and happy and at peace with God. And so I again want to emphasize this in my own life. Strengthened in verse 11, where our true strength and joy and peace and happiness and long suffering comes from. Look at verses 13 and following. Having complete salvation, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have complete or whole redemption is the idea through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Nothing's not, two negatives, I know that. Nothing's not forgiven. Everything's forgiven for the Christian. And He is alone made complete in this life. Again, people in this world that are struggling and clamoring for wholeness and completeness, one of my favorite stores to go in, not Whole Foods. Just kidding. You have to know my family to understand that joke, but nonetheless, we're made whole in Christ. I'm worried about that. That's where my peace is. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here, so that I don't miss heaven. Notice again what he says here. Continue with me in chapter 1, verses 16 and following. Christ, by Him, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. And where I'm made complete and whole is in Him, where all things are of and because of. Verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Look at 18. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Drop down to verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Look at verse 25. Paul's purpose as an apostle, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me as an apostle for you to fulfill the word of God. The word of God having been fulfilled because the apostles served their purpose, they did their job. Why? Again, so we can be made whole, filled, fulfilled in Christ Jesus. The word in Colossians 2:10, translated complete in the King James Version, is the same word often used in this book. Fill, fulfilled, it's the same word. At least insofar as the root is concerned. It's the word, again, often translated throughout the New Testament when it talks about prophecy being fulfilled, satisfied, complete. And so this idea of being complete is a wonderful idea, and that's what Paul wants us to understand. Notice in chapter 2, then, a few pointers. When we notice here in verses 2 and following, all riches. Verse 2 says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When you think about the priorities of your life, the Bible's very clear and simple when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, Matthew 6, 33 and 34. You don't have to worry about your life if you are setting first, seeking first, putting first the kingdom of God. The Bible guarantees, it promises, God promises that He will fill us up. He will give us all of our needs. Look again at down at verse 9 when he says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 10, "And ye are complete," or made full, "in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Now the contrast in chapter 2 is that there were false philosophies being advocated, asceticism and various self-help types of things that we might attribute to today's society. You can fix yourself. You can cure yourself. You are the master of your own person. You do have choice. But you can't save your soul. And one of these days when you draw your last breath and you've worked so hard physically to do everything physically to save your physical man and to live, I guess, the fullest of lives you can live, one of these days you're still going to draw your last breath, and then who's going to save you? That's the message of this book. In chapter 2, look at what he says then in verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Again, I'm not suggesting you shouldn't try to take care of yourself physically. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't exercise. Paul did say a little bodily exercise profiteth little. That's what he says. But it's not the priority of our lives. I want you to consider then again this fact that there are these warnings. Look at verse 15 of chapter 2. Jesus here, having spoiled or disarmed in another translation, put off the principalities, the rulers and powers of this world, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16, he goes on and talks about not being distracted or deceived by vain and empty things, false worship, false angels, and so forth, and various, again, philosophies of the world. Look at verse 23. He calls it a show of wisdom in will worship. People so assertive in their own wills, pushing their own agendas, not the agenda of Christ. These will find themselves incomplete and unhappy outside of Christ. That's the problem with false religion today. It's dependent upon man-made rules and regulations. It comes up short. It's empty. It's not to be in comparison or in any way found to compare to Christ in His way. That's why if you're visiting today, I noticed in at least two, maybe all of the prayers this morning, everyone mentioned the fact that we're here trying to, the best of our ability, follow the Bible, God's Word alone, without the insertion of our own ideas and opinions. Randy Scott prays that almost every time he gets up here. And we do that because we want you to be left complete, not incomplete. And you can leave here again knowing that you can be once the services conclude. Now notice in chapter 3 again, there are conditions, and I'm going to point these out as I make some final application in just a moment. If verse 1 of chapter 3, it's interesting how there are several conditions in this book, but notice again, if then you've been risen with Christ. Now that risen with Christ goes back to chapter 2, verse 12, where those who are risen with Christ are those who have been buried with Christ in baptism. And those who have been buried with Christ in baptism didn't stay in the grave. They came out as Christ came out of that watery grave. And so Paul here is saying, if then ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Just a question again, but today's misery in the world, is it from those who are seeking things above, or is it because they're seeking things below all the time? The misery of this world. But if we seek the things that are above, set our affection on things above, the word affection there has to do with the heart. Where is your heart? Is your affection set on Him? It might be easier to illustrate when you think about your hobbies and the things that you're most passionate about in your life. The word passion comes into play here. The things that we're most passionate about are typically the things that we're most interested in. Well, are you more interested in the Lord's church and your own salvation, His kingdom? Or are you more interested in secular things, worldly things? It's a pretty simple question to consider. And Paul goes on and says in verse 3, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Again, remember the condition in verse 1. If, we'll continue to again analyze these as we live our life. In chapter 3, though, you have to notice that condition. In chapter 4, he talks about practical things like masters and servants. Briefly here, notice how he says, very interesting in verse 5 and 6. Practically speaking, as a child of God, made complete in Christ, he says in verse 5 and verse 6, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. The last part of verse 6 is significant. Christianity needs to be broadcasted, to be preached to the whole world. That's our greatest thing we do, is to evangelize. And so Christians have to learn through this trial here, being filled with knowledge, to walk in wisdom, with speech seasoned with salt. The idea again is a flavorful idea, having substance in your words. If the world lacks anything, it's substance. The vain philosophies he mentions in this book are just that. They're empty. What's the end result? But Christ, the end result in chapter 1, verse 5, is heaven. Prepared place where we're going. And the final thing there in verse 6 is that you may be able to answer every man. It might be the biggest problem that we face in the church today is that we don't know how to answer every man. The word there being keyed to 1 Peter 3:15, having an answer, being able to answer every man. It's an obligation. It's an obligation for the Christian to work on that. Not to be discouraged, but to work on it. And we'll make three brief points that I think this book points out. And the first one I would say is, again, if man is to be whole or complete, as the Bible says there in Colossians 2, verse 10, made complete, and ye are complete, fulfilled in Him, then that depends upon your attitude and your action. Do we understand how important attitude is in life in general? How we approach life, how we look at life, in everything we do. It's interesting in Matthew, the first account or gospel account of the life of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, in chapter 5, in the greatest sermon perhaps in the entire Bible by our Lord and Master, he spends nearly 10, 11 verses talking about attitude. The Beatitudes. Think about it this way, being swift to hear, slow to speak, that the wrath of man doesn't overcome the goodness of God in James 1:21. How important it is to listen and to have the proper attitude. One of the number one problems with children today is that they're not being taught at home to listen. And that's who grows up to become you and me. Parents, do you look at your kids in the eyes and talk to them as adults, as parents to your children? It's not about demanding respect. It's about creating in them a proper attitude that one day will help them in their future. Learn how to listen and pay attention. Problem is today we've got too many children having children. And they haven't learned how to look into the eyes with confidence and with authority and say to their children, listen, I've got something that's going to help you in your life. So again, if you want to be made whole or complete, you're going to have to learn to have the right attitude, which starts by listening. Faith comes by what? Hearing. How are you going to be saved without faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, right? So he that believeth faith hears and then is baptized shall be saved. There's your action in life. You'll never do the right action if you don't learn, though, to listen correctly. Remember when Jesus said, hearing they hear not and seeing they see not? Why did he say that? Oh, they were hearing, but what were they hearing? They wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear what he said. And so did they ever do anything right? No. So the first thing here in being made whole or complete is, again, having the proper attitude and the proper action. You cannot have the proper action if you have not heard the proper instructions. And God has something to say about that. Number two, in order to be the complete man, you have to remember there are constant conditions. Constant conditions. It's not a once saved, always saved system here. Yes, you are complete if you do these things, if you stay in this way. Look at chapter 1, verse 9 again. Conditions. Chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. So if you're not filled with the knowledge of His will, the answer to His prayer is what? It's conditional. The prayer there, the desire is that we might be filled. But it's not going to happen if we don't get busy. Look at verse 23, I believe, of chapter 1. Verse 23 says this. Again, condition. If you want to be complete, don't forget the condition. If you continue in the faith, that's the New Testament, it's the gospel system, grounded. Now notice the conditions here even more so. Grounded and settled. Mike Bonner and I were talking on, I guess it was Friday, about some of the people we went to school with, some of the things that have happened, why they quit, why they gave up. And he said it's because, it was an interesting conversation, they don't realize that they're complete in Christ, was his answer. I got to think about this lesson. And I got to think of that. That must be correct. It must be true because they went looking for something else, didn't they? And you're not going to find it outside of Christ. So, brethren, there are conditions. Grounded and settled. These people are not grounded and settled. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Absolute hope. Heaven. There's no other hope. Are we looking for something else? There's no other hope. It's heaven. That's it. Once we draw, is there anything better than heaven? It's a shame that there are religions that teach young men that they will receive 72 virgins. Now what does that say about women in that religion? What do they receive? 72 male virgins? Really? I'm kind of dumb, but I don't understand that. But that's what they're promoting. That's what they sell. And guess what? Men blow themselves up and women for that kind of stuff. Motivation. Notice again chapter 2 verses 4 and verse 8, and I'll have to quickly get through these. The conditions here, if you're going to be complete, you've got to remember there are conditions. Chapter 2 verse 4 says, and I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. What does that mean? Pay attention to your ears. Pay attention to your context. Pay attention to what you're hanging out with. Does it matter where you go? Does it matter what you do? Does it matter who your friends are? Does it matter what people are saying around you? Sure it matters. Do we as parents not try to protect our children to the best of our abilities by guiding them, protecting them from what they're going to hear in this world? Not only in chapter 2, verse 4, look at verse 8 again. Beware. Notice the warnings, lest any man spoil you. I remember one of the most sobering things a man told me. I guess I was maybe expressing a little too much exuberance or confidence as a younger person 20 years ago. And he said to me, how do I know you won't apostatize one day? I've never forgot that. Brian, how do you know you won't fall away? You got a long time to go if things stand. A long time relative to this world, maybe. So in order for you to be made whole or complete, don't forget. What do people today do? They forget. Perhaps become too confident, too comfortable. And then finally, the complete man, the one made complete, cannot be confused about where total salvation is. Maybe this point's somewhat redundant. But as I was studying, I was thinking about the apparent confusion people must have. Apparently they get distracted, they get confused. Maybe they think there's something else out there. And they start to wonder. And when they start to wonder, maybe they'll come back one day. But maybe they won't. There is no salvation outside of Christ. Jesus is as emphatic about that as he is anything else. As much as he talks about hell more than he does heaven, Jesus is emphatic about those subjects. God is not in competition with other systems of religion or salvation or spiritual ways to make you feel whole or complete in this world. He's not in competition with the vain philosophies and rudiments of the world. He's not in competition with that. He doesn't offer a system of salvation that's incomplete. It is complete. And it really is an all or nothing deal. You're either all in or you're all out. This philosophy has crept into the church that we can devil dabble a little bit in the world and that be okay with God is false. God is a jealous God. He desires our heart wholly. This is the whole of man. And so I conclude that the whole or complete man of God, the man that knows he's blessed, is the man that's not confused about salvation. And so I'll quote these passages in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and the invitation will be yours, I'll offer it. Look at chapter 1 again to emphasize this complete salvation. Verse 13 and 14, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, Christ hath delivered us, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son," the absolute kingdom of God that stands to this day. How many people recognize that kingdom today? I wonder sometimes if Donald Trump, what form of religion he may or may not be. I'm not sure. I don't care really. But what I do care about is his soul. I pray for him. I wonder if he ever thinks about the kingdom of God. If there's a kingdom far superior that surpasses the kingdom or the United States of America. I wonder if European nations ever think about that. Because Paul says you and I have been translated into what? The kingdom of God. What's more powerful, the kingdom of God or the United States of America? I mean, my emphasis should be upon the kingdom of God, right? He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's where all authority exists in heaven and upon earth. Matthew 28, I mean, is there anyone more powerful than Jesus Christ, our God? Look at verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Is that something Donald Trump can provide? The United States of America? I love my country. Don't misunderstand. I believe we should pray for our country and be good citizens in this country. But the one who saves my soul is not the president or the governor or the state representative of this country or state. It's Jesus Christ. And that's who makes me complete or whole. Verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him." I love the last part of that verse because that tells me that my life, everything about this life is about Christ. Whether people realize that or not, it's all about Christ. The news you read and you listen to every day, I hope you're not obsessed with it, because most of those people are deceived. If you're paying attention to that, they don't know Christ very well. They give too much power and too much glory to the experts and so-called people of the world that have power, not to Christ. And so then I look at chapter 2, verse 10, when I study this book, and I'm reminded of how blessed I am, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. When I think about how incomplete though I was before, have you stopped to think about where you were before you were a child of God? You remember the thoughts, the passions of your heart, the motives that ruled you, the desires? Do you remember those things before Christ? Before you obeyed the gospel, became a Christian? I can. They're getting dimmer and dimmer as the older I live because they're gone. They're long time, but I can remember dimly. I remember the fear of boredom. I remember being afraid of not having something to do. A friend calling me, someone to fill up my soul with something that was vain that would just pass away. I can remember the times when I worried about things that just don't matter. But now in Christ, I almost can't wait to have a day where I can do nothing but study and think and meditate and pray. When no one calls you, no one texts you, no one beeps you or whatever, leaves you alone for a little while. Why? Because I'm made whole in Christ. And wherever I am, and wherever I go, He is with me. And that's a wonderful thing that the Christian has. This life's going to end one day, and He's all that will matter. And so I ask that question, are you whole in Christ? Have you been buried with Him? The idea of salvation, the plan of salvation that was preached on so much last week with Brother Mosier, is such a comprehensive message. Belief, faith in the death, burial, resurrection, and the fact that the Lord God of heaven, Jesus, by Him all things were made, came down, lived in this flesh, submitted, humbled Himself in this life, went to the cross willfully, sacrificed Himself willfully, gave His own life. They didn't take it. His life came back in the grave, in the tomb, and He comes back to life, and then He wanders around some 40, 50 days before Pentecost of Acts 2 and teaches and guides and instructs the apostles and holy men of God that were going to be selected and chosen and prepares them for the kingdom of God that was established as a result of the cross. And the person who knows that, believes that, understands that, has faith, surely is now ready to repent of sin and to turn their back on this world, the physical, the fleshly, the things that don't matter, and focus now on the things that do. And confess Him. Homologia, the Greek word there, meaning say the same thing. It's again a wonderful thing. And you'll do that the rest of your life, by the way. We will continue to say the same things, do the same things. We will speak. And that's what will really constitute our unity, is in our confession of faith. But man has to confess that before man publicly. You can't be a silent partner in Christianity. You have to learn to talk. And then baptism, immersion into water, is a complete thing. It's a burial, as he says in Colossians 2:12. It's comprehensive. And when a person rises out of that water, he's nothing more and he's nothing less than a child of God, completely saved from his sins, to now walk in a newness of life, to be complete, be made whole right then and there the rest of your life as you follow the conditions. I think the problem is people get confused over time. They get distracted about their salvation. And so maybe this lesson has drawn your attention back to the fact that there's nothing out there in competition with what's right here. This is the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life, is be a faithful child of God. If you haven't been faithful as a child of God, perhaps you've fallen by the wayside, you've brought reproach against the church, you need the prayers of the congregation. And the invitation of the Lord is for you as well. If you're outside of Christ and you know you're not complete or made whole, and you need to talk to somebody, perhaps, then talk to us. You can let us know right now. If you're ready to obey the gospel and you know exactly what you need to do, but don't spurn the Lord's invitation. This is His invitation. As together we stand and we sing, won't you come?